And let's see if this is doing it. Hold on. Yes, it is. In progress. Very good. Okay, so let's get this party started. Good morning, everybody. So I've got everybody on mute, and we still have a bunch of people who are calling in. Just to give everybody the instructions, go over a couple of things, and then I'm going to actually start the call here. So first of all, I want to welcome everybody, especially the new power agents. And I know we got people calling from all parts of the world and different time zones, and somebody had to get up really early. So thank you for doing that. I also want to just thank everybody that's on this call that knew that our call was last Monday, and I had to move it because of we had some kind of flight problem. I had the keynote in Alaska and just got back last night at or this morning, 1 in the morning. So, and I will tell you, it was my first time in Alaska, and I didn't have a horrible meal at all. They're awesome, the food there. We went to Juneau. So if anybody's thinking about going on vacation to Alaska, I had an awesome time in Juneau, Alaska. All right. We are recording this call, so that's why everybody's on mute right now, so that way we get a nice, good recording. I recommend not using, well, it doesn't matter if you use a hold button or something because we're not going to hear it. But if you do have a question, what I want you to do is hit *7 on your keypad. There's a delay, so it takes about 5 seconds, so don't get frustrated or hit it more than once. Otherwise, you're going to go back to muting yourself. So *7, unmute you, and then *7, mute you back on the call. All right. So just a reminder, what we're going to do on this call, like we do every month, is from this your opportunity for me to coach you, to answer any questions that you might have. Some people have sent in emails ahead of time, so those people get in front of the queue. So those people that send me an email, I'm going to call out you folks first, and then we'll go to the call and open it up to other questions. Also, I want to give you some ideas to help you in the next 30 days. But this month, what I want to do first is the magazine, because I don't always get to the magazine. You know, part of your membership into the Power Program is that we painstakingly, every month, put together a magazine that's at least 30 pages and then some, all the way up to 50-some-odd pages. And in those magazines, every month, we give you some promotional stuff, checklists, flyers, dialogue, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. And just to refresh your memory, where you get that information, when you log into the Power Program website, which is thepowerprogram.com, thepowerprogram.com, you got to log in there first. And after you've logged in, on the homepage, it'll show you the recording of last month's call that I did with everybody. In addition, there is the magazine. In addition, there is the interview of the agent who's featured in the magazine. So every month you've got this great stuff on the homepage for you. This month we interviewed Annette Wilcox. She's from Century 21 Premier Properties. She started in real estate in 2011, and she became Rookie of the Year in 2012, became a Diamond Award winner, a Centurion Award winner. Anyway, within 4 years, she opened up her own office in just 4 years in Norwalk, Ohio. Now, I'm not sure where Norwalk is, but I'm sure I can think of a couple of jokes about Norwalk. Anyway, my point here is that Annette has just done phenomenal coming into real estate now it's 5 years that she's been in. So, great interview I had with her. I interviewed her personally. The transcript's in there. So make sure you listen to that transcript. Make sure you look at the magazine. Next thing is let me go over with you some of the pages in the magazine. Now, if you're not in front of a computer, don't worry about it. I'm going to try and describe it to you. And then later on, after you can log into the website, and as a matter of fact, it'd be better if you ever can, here's what I recommend you do. Every month when we do these calls, if you log into the Power Program website and print out the magazine, and then so when I go over it, you can make certain notes and stuff like that. So here's the first thing I want to tell you. On page 23 in the magazine, again, don't worry if you don't have it in front of you, but page 23, there is a flyer promoting a broker's open house. No big deal. But, you know, one of the things that I think is really powerful is on a listing appointment, you have visual representations of everything that you do to help a homeowner get their property sold. Now, especially with a for sale by owner, they don't know the value of broker's open house because as a FSBO, they're thinking they're going to do their own open house, and that's only for the public. But here's the power of a broker's open house. The analogy that I like to use is that when you see in the fashion industry, when they're going to launch a new line of clothes, so you got a clothes designer, and they're going to launch a new set of clothes, what do? They have a fashion show. And in this fashion show, they do a lot of promotion prior to the fashion show, telling people, hey, come check out our new line of clothes. And they have the press there. They have food there. It's a big to-do. Now, what's powerful about that is before the fashion show even happens, there's a buzz in the fashion industry about the new line coming out. Then when they have the show, the people who are sitting in the audience are buyers from other stores. So what the buyers do is they look at the line of clothes, and if they see something they like, they bring it back to their store and sell it to their buyers. Well, Mr. and Mrs. Hanahana, to me, that's exactly what a broker's open house is. See, what we do is we create a whole buzz that this new property is coming on the market, because let me tell you something. The serious buyers, the best buyers, are the ones that have been looking for a while. And they've seen a bunch of homes. Now, if they've seen a bunch of homes and they still haven't bought, they're kind of biting at the bit, waiting for something that speaks to them. So you've got this whole slew of buyers that are sitting with agents waiting for that new property. So when we are going to do our broker's open house, we promote it a week in advance. So that already creates the buzz. That's the first thing. Second thing is when the brokers actually come to the open house, and, of course, we do a big spread. We have food just like a fashion show. We make it a big event. When the brokers come to our open house, if they think their buyers are going to like it, they bring it back to their store and tell their buyers about your property. So in other words, a broker's open house is like a fashion show, but in this case, you're the one line of clothes. You're only the one set of clothes that we're promoting. Do you see how that'd be valuable? So I love that analogy. That's something a homeowner can't do on their own, that we do for them. On page 24 in this month's magazine, and I just wanted to, we had a bunch of people come in, after the call started. So those of you that are just jumping in the call, what we're doing right now is I'm going over the Power Agent magazine, which you can only get access to on the Power Program website after you've logged in. All right, so on page 24, this Jim Bowden, what he does is he had a picture of something in his office. Now, it doesn't matter what he has. It's called the lobby picture board, and, you know, that's fine. But the reason why I showed you this, and actually I think it's great, the reason why I showed you this is because one of the things I did on a listing appointment is I had pictures of the inside of my office, almost like a visual tour via pictures. And I had a few pictures. I showed the sales pit. I showed our board, our dock board, our computer room, et cetera. And what I said to a homeowner, I said, being that you can't come to the office, I'm bringing the office to you. And I would give them this pictorial tour of my office. And I was always interested. How interested they were. I thought that was pretty cool that it was almost like they were looking at a photo album, kind of sucked them into the conversation. I think part of it is that it was like pulling back the curtain behind the scenes of a real estate office and what we do. On page 27, this agent, what they did, I think is very powerful. His name's Jim. What Jim did was he created a list of sales of all of his sellers. He put their name, their address, and their phone number, and it says, this is a complete list of the people I've sold homes over the past few months. You're welcome to call any of these people, ask them any questions about me. I think that's a very powerful validation when you're going on a listing appointment. Or you can use this as a mailing. By the way, a lot of the things that I give you each month in this magazine, you can use in mailing campaigns or even in advertising. Now, let me just address page 27 for those agents that don't have a lot of sales, because I know some of you on this call, you may be new, still your first year, and your list of clientele may only be three people. One of the things you can do when you're new or you don't have the stats to validate that you're a successful or a top agent or whatever is actually using office stats. So what you can simply do is you can have a list of all the sales that have happened over the past few months from your office and push that to a homeowner. Say, this is just some of the people who have bought and sold a house through our company, whether it's through me or one of my colleagues, and I highly recommend that you call them if you have any questions about how powerful we are at what we do. On page 28, this agent, what they had is handwritten testimonials from not just past clients. I just love this. What they did is actually had other realtors, colleagues from other offices, write them a testimonial. Now, of course, you can say to an agent, I'll reciprocate for you, but here's one. It's, Dear Jim, this was a smooth close, and thank you for your persistence and effort. I really enjoyed the opportunity to meet you and work with you. It was a pleasure to work with such a strong agent. Wow, here's another one. It was a pleasure working with you on the sale, but I appreciate all your help. I mean, to me, this is such a brilliant idea, having testimonials from your colleagues and then bringing that on a listing appointment. And on page 28 to 29, it shows you how this agent laid it out in their listing book. Page 30. Now, page 30 goes 31, 32, 33. What I did is I gave you a list of all the marketing tools that you might do for a homeowner. Now, there's a lot of stuff on here that that you may do and that you may not do, but the reason why I gave you this list is a couple of reasons. Number one, it's to give you an idea, because here's what I know. Like, for you to sit down and write out everything that you do to get a property sold could be overwhelming. You may not think of everything. So I basically am giving it to you to make it easy for you. There's a few powerful things to do with this list. First of all, you'll have to tweak it, obviously, to use the words of what you do, take out what you don't do. But here's a few great ideas on how to use this. Number one, it can help justify commission to a homeowner, saying, you know, this is a lot of homeowners misunderstand. They think that all we do is, you know, or what a realtor may do is just do a public open house, blow up balloons, et cetera. But let me just show you all of the, here's 31 things that I do to help bring the most buyers in through your front doors, which drives the price. So that's one thing. The other thing is you can create a brochure from this. The third thing you can do is actually create this as a call to action. And for those who don't know what a call to action is, if you were to run an ad, say, you know, call today for a free CMA, blah, 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 and if you call now, we'll give you the 31 marketing strategies every home seller needs. And really what the 31 marketing strategies is this list of things that you do, okay? So I got to take – let me tell you something. This magazine, there is so much in this magazine, you can't implement everything, and that's true about every magazine that I give you. Every month, there is too much in here for you to use. So what you need to do is go through it and say, you know what, I'm just going to implement this one. You know, I create this like a smorgasbord that you just, like, look at what you see, everything, all the dishes, and then just pick one or two. For example, page 34, there is an idea, I love this, what this agent did is they got these tote bags with their logo and name on it. The tote bag can be used for so many things for a homeowner, but what this agent does is in the tote bag, they put in things that a buyer, after they've closed on the house, that they need. So it's a closing gift. For example, napkins, cups, plates, you know, they put in their soda, soap. You know, so it's at the close to say, here's some things to help you when you move into your property because, you know, that first day or two, things are in boxes. It could be overwhelming. Just a great little idea. Next thing on page 35, this agent, what they do is it's a great pumpkin giveaway. And, by the way, we're almost finished with this magazine, and when I'm done with this, I'm going to go to the questions. I'm going to start coaching you guys. So start thinking about what you want to ask me. Page 35, it's a flyer that says, hey, you know, great pumpkin giveaway. I wanted to give you this because we're coming into to Halloween. This flyer says, help the American Diabetes Association. You can come. You can make a contribution. Hey, kids, come dress in costume and receive a surprise. Now, this office, they did a lot more with clowns and pony rides. You don't have to do all that. Enter a drawing to win a bike for a child's bike, courtesy of About Bikes of Tallahassee. So what this broker did is got with another vendor and said, hey, donate a bike. I'm going to promote your bike store. You can come here, meet and greet people. So there's a lot going on with this giveaway. We're giving away pumpkins. We're giving away a raffle for a bicycle. There's other surprises and fun things. So this broker created a whole big event around Halloween. Now, I'm going to tell you something. My broker, my second broker, Mac Levitt, he did the same thing. Every Halloween, he would get a ton of pumpkins. We love them on Long Island. There's a lot. We have pumpkin patches out here. He would get like a truckload, bring it to the office, and he decorated the office with literally hundreds of pumpkins. Now, the idea was when anybody ever came in, they would get a pumpkin. And he would promote that. Come to the office, we're giving away pumpkins. All right. It's just a way to meet and greet people. Page 37, what Jim did here, I love this idea. Now, I'm not sure if he sent this as a fax. It looks like a fax. It could be a mailing. Obviously, it could be an email. And it says here to Joe Realtor, you recently showed a house, one of our listings, and it's comparable to this particular house. And then it promotes another listing similar to the listing that that agent showed. Hang on one second. I'm going to Old Guest Consulting. I'm going to unmute everybody. I want to make sure. Can you all hear me? Can you hear me?
Yes.
All right, good. I'm putting you back. All right. I'm just putting you back. Thank you for that, putting you back on mute. I just want to make sure that everybody can still hear me. Okay, so page 37, as I said, great way. Here's the idea. When you if you keep track of agents who are showing your listings, and if you get another listing similar to the one that's been shown, you would communicate, whether it be an email, however, even calling other agents, say, hey, listen, you showed one of my listings. I got a new listing. It's similar to that one in case you're interested. That's a great marketing tool. And once again, gang, that's a great thing to share with a homeowner. You know, one of the things you could tell them on a listing appointment, especially for a physical, they don't have the advantage of this. You know, business promotes business. Sometimes Mr. and Mrs. Hanahan, a buyer will come in, they'll look at one of our listings that doesn't work for them. So when you list with us, any of the other similar houses we had to yours helps promote you, and we can bring additional buyers in that you wouldn't have had otherwise. Okay, on page... I'm not even sure what page number it is. I think it's 39. It got cut off here. Page 30. It says Nuggets, Nuggets Corner, your most creative marketing tools. A couple of agents shared some great marketing ideas. I put it on there for you. I'm going to read just two. There's two, four. There's five. Let me just give you two. To revitalize interest in a property that's not moving. What this agent did is contact every real estate agent who's ever sold in the area in the last year and a half. So they will personally call any agent who's made a sale in their market in the past year and a half, tell them, hey, I've got this property. It's been sitting for a while. Homeowner's motivated. So that's a good idea. The other one here, what this agent does, William Decker, is he would do a and some of us have heard this before, but I love this idea, is where you have a home inspection done on a property prior to it, you know, once it goes on to the market. So you've got this new listing, you do a pre-inspection, and then you can put a yard sign next to the for sale sign that says, this house has a move-in, it's move-in certified. I love that. Move-in certified, meaning that you've had the pre-inspection already done on the property. It's move-in certified, and it's just another little marketing tool. I love that idea. Okay, last two things, and then I'm going to open up the call after I do the emails that I've got here. Hang on. Annette Wilcox, she talks about the agent that we interviewed this month, Annette Wilcox from Century Tour and Premier. She's gotten a lot of listings through some of the mailings that she's done. And so she gave me two of the letters that she sent out on page 40. One of them is for an expired. So this is a specific letter that she mails out to expireds on page 40. She's got a lot of great results from this. In addition, gang, I want to remind you, in the Power Program website, after you log in, under the word classroom, and I say this every month and I need to because we're always getting new power agents sign up and some of you don't always do it, I got to tell you, under the word classroom, there's a plethora of great things for you. There is one of the things you're going to find. I'll go back to Annette in a second. One of the things you'll find under the word classroom, there is a PDF file under visuals for sellers, and it says 11 reasons to list during the holidays. There's another version of it called the 10 reasons to list during the holidays. So we're coming to the holidays right now. This is a great flyer that you can use on your listing appointments. When a homeowner says we want to list after the holidays, explain to them why now is a great reason to put their house on the market. There's also other visuals, ads, 100 reasons to work with an agent. There's so much great stuff under the word classroom on your Power Program website. Now, one of the things I have there, too, for you, there's seven letters to send to an expired. So technically, you can send one letter every other day to an expired. That would give you 14 days, two full weeks to bombard an expired in a positive way to contact you. This is great when you can't get their phone number. Now you have an additional letter that Annette was very generous to share on page 40. And on page 41, she has another letter that she just does as a mass mailing to try and get listing appointments. Now I'm going to read this because I want to tweak it a little bit and give you guys an additional idea. Her letter reads, I'm not going to read the whole letter, but just jump to a couple of things. Dear homeowner, I was checking your neighborhood for real estate needs. I'd be happy to do a free comparative market analysis for you. It could be of help in figuring out the present value of your home or business should you decide to sell. Now, a couple of tips I have, and I'm going to tweak Annette's letter, and I hope it's okay, Annette, if you're on the call. You know, one of the things I would do, instead of saying, you know, your home or your business, I would make it more personal. I would mail the letter out just to residentials and just say for your property. I would take the letter, tweak it for businesses, and mail it just to businesses. So when a letter is very personal, it gets even better response rate than what Annette you might already have. You know, she has here, dear property owner, she may have done that just for me, but it would be better if you can merge it and get it from a mailing house and get the actual name of the homeowner and put their name in it. The other thing is, instead of calling it a comparative market analysis or CMA, which is so common, so many of us do, I like the word neighborhood market report. Neighborhood market report. And the reason why I love this, calling it that, is, first of all, number one, it's unique. Unless all my power agents, well, we don't have that many power agents that would change the market, but if you're doing neighborhood market report, number one, you're going to be unique most likely because everybody else is using CMA. Number two, I will put a subtitle to that, neighborhood market report, semicolon, find out what your neighbors paid for their home. Now, what's awesome about that is that people are always curious, I wonder what the heck they paid for that house. I wonder what that house is worth. Yeah, so they're interested, obviously, in their home, but boy, oh, boy, they're real nosy when it comes to their neighbors. So you're going to get more people wanting to know the neighborhood or market report because they want to know what their neighbors paid for their house. It also says something much more than just the CMA. It's about the neighborhood. It's a market report. It gives you a sense of what's happening in the market. So I much prefer that title. My students who use this tell me they get such a higher response rate when they use the neighborhood market report. Then she goes on to say, there is no cost or obligation. Just a few minutes of your time is all I need. You may be amazed the value of your you have accumulated in your property. Love that sentence. Couple of things. What you could do is also do an over-the-phone market, neighborhood market report. So you say there's no cost or obligation, just a few minutes of your time is all I need over the phone. I can tell you what's happening in your market, plus give you the value of your home over the phone. Now, the power of doing over the phone is that there's probably going to be more homeowners. That's what our students tell us. They get more calls because having an agent physically come to the house, sit in front of them, you know, salesperson, letting somebody in, I got to get the house cleaned up, and I really don't. So, you know, if I don't have to see you, I don't have to get my house ready for you to come over. If I could just, if you give me this over the phone, I'd be interested. So you're going to get a high response rate over the phone. Now, here's how that works, though. When the homeowner calls in for the neighborhood market report over the phone, they want to also know what their house is worth. You explain to them, all right, Mrs. Tanahana, what I need to do is just ask you a bunch of questions about your property so that way I can go to the computer and pull the report for you. Do you have time for me to ask you these questions now? Most likely they'll say yes. Okay, great. How many bedrooms? How many baths? Blah, blah, blah. Now, during the questioning, you're going to say, oh, you, how long have you been? Oh, wow. What, have you ever thought about moving? If you're going to move, where would you move to? Oh, that's great. Have you done any major improvements in the house? Oh, that's great that you did that. So you're not just getting the data, but during the conversation and questioning, you're building rapport with this homeowner. So hopefully by the end of the call, it's now not Mrs. Hunahuna, it's Mary. And, well, Mary, thank you so much. This, your house sounds awesome. I'm going to go to the computer. I'm going to do this report, and I'll probably be ready by tonight. Can I call you tonight? Will you be home tonight? Okay, great. I'll talk to you later. Now, when I call Mary back in a few hours, I'm going to tell Mary, Mary, hey, it's Sarah. Hey, how are you doing? Okay, great. So I did the report, a lot of interesting things. First of all, the market's on an upswing, which is good. We're seeing a surge of buyers coming in. There's less inventory, so there's people that are benefiting from this because there's less competition, more buyers. It's always a good market for a homeowner when there's more buyers in our houses. Now, based on the value from what I can see and based on what your homeowners have paid for their homes, your house is worth somewhere between $500 and $575, which I know is a lot of, you know, $75,000 is a big spread. You know, for me to really determine if it's high or low, I would need to see the house. By the way, I check my schedule. I'm going to be in the neighborhood. If you like, I can stop by, take a quick run through the house. Don't worry about getting a nicey or dialed up or anything. I can just give you an idea. Is it the high end or the low end? And I can actually give you the report of the other things that I found out about the market. So anyway, gang, here's the point. And by the way, we're recording this call, so everything that I just said is going to be posted on the website from this recording. So what I just did is I took a very simple letter, I beefed it up in such a way that you're going to have homeowners calling you, and you can turn that into a face-to-face potential listing appointment. So that's it on that. All right, now we're going to open up the calls to our questions here. So that's the magazine. A lot of great stuff. Now, we have four emails that I got here. So let me go through these emails, and then I'll open up the call. Mary Case Friedner, are you on the call? Mary Case, if you're on the call, hit *7 one time. Give it about 5 seconds for it to respond, and then I'll be able to talk to you. So, Mary Case, are you on the call?
I am.
Hey, how are you, sweetie?
I'm wonderful. How are you?
All right, very great. Thank you so much for asking. I appreciate it.
Well,
so,
you're very welcome. I'm glad you're great.
All right. So you've got this question about this offer. Let me read it out to everybody. On Friday at about noon, I countered to a buyer's agent with an offer on one of my listings. We're now coming up to 72 hours since then, and I've gotten no response from her at all. I don't want to seem anxious or weak by calling her. How would you handle it? You know, honestly, Mary, if this, if you have it, this is going to be an easy question, but you're probably not going to want the answer. If a buyer wanted the house, you would have heard the call by now. So the fact that they haven't called you, they're not interested. Now, probably what happened, I'm curious about the offer. How big of a difference was it? You know, what was the asking price? And, yeah. What's that?
15,000.
15,000, okay.
Yep.
So, you know, that's not a bad number. You know, if they really lowballed it, I would definitely say what I said is true.
No, they did lowball it to start
with. Say that again, then.
I said they did lowball it when they started. The first offer was
Okay. Yeah, so then that's what I'm going to suggest is happening, is that, you know, they just threw it out there and say, hey, if we can get it this price, we'll take it. Once you made them come up and now you're asking them to come up some more, they've lost interest in it. Otherwise, you would have heard by now. So they probably, so probably what happened, that was Friday, the agent took them out to see a bunch of other houses this weekend. And they saw some things. Now, one of two things happened. Either A, they saw a house that they like, and they're now negotiating on that this weekend.
Mm-hmm.
B, they saw a bunch of houses, and it actually they didn't like anything, and it actually validated that they want your house, but the number's just too much. Or C, neither one of what I'm saying is true. But assuming
I figured they were out looking this weekend, though there's not much to look at, really.
So here's what I would do is now that, if you can do this, now that they've done what they did this weekend, I would now call them, but you'd have to come in, you'd have to now come down in price. So I would talk to my sellers and say, listen, the fact that they haven't called us, that number that we countered doesn't work, and they're never going to come to that number. You have to make a decision if you want to come back down to try and get these people back in. I would explain to the sellers that it's very possible that if they look this weekend, which is what I think happened, they either found something else that they like, which means we lost them, which fine, or they may want to come back, but definitely not this number because we would have gotten the call already. So if you can get that homeowner to come down off of the counter that you gave, whether it's 5, 10, or just meet, I wouldn't meet their price. What was the last price the buyers offered?
360.
Okay. And you countered at 375. Okay. What I would do is I would come back. If you can get your homeowners to go 367. And here's what's
going to
happen.
You know what? I really don't think they will. I don't think they will.
Okay, well, whatever. Okay. Well, if they won't do it, they won't do it. But if they can come even 370, like they got to get off 375.
Right.
So you have to have a reason to call the other agent. And just to call them and say, so what's going on, would be a waste of a call because they would call you. You have to call with a reason, not just to check. So I would call the other agent after I talked to my buyer. I said, listen, I spoke to the buyers during the weekend, sellers, I mean. I really want your buyers to get this property. I like to get this property sold just like you do. I push my homeowners. I got them down to 370. So if your buyers can just do that other $10,000, we can put this deal to rest. That's what I would do.
Okay. All right.
All right.
That's what I'll do.
And you tell the homeowners, one of the techniques, gang, that you can use in negotiation, I would say this to the homeowner. I say, you know, Mr. Masana, if at 370, we may have the house sold. Now, my question to you is, would you buy your house for 370? Because if we don't sell this house to these buyers at 370, it's in a sense, it's almost like you bought your house back. I think we can put this deal together at 370. And if you don't work with me on this, you know, then it's like you just bought your own house back. Another way of saying it too, Mary, is that, you know what, hanging on to the extra $5,000, how long has this house been on the market? How long has the house been on the market?
I missed that, Daryl. What about the market?
How long has this house been? How long has your listing been on the market?
I think we put it on the market August 1st.
Okay. So, yeah, and that's the other problem. It's still new for them. So, how much are the taxes each year?
Oh, they're very low. They're less than seven.
$7,000 a year. All right, so $7,000.
Yeah.
Here's what I'm trying to do.
That's
if you look at if you look at taxes, insurance, and mortgage payment, is it costing them close to $5,000 a month to carry this home?
Probably not. There's no mortgage.
Okay, there's no mortgage. Okay. All right, well, I can't use that technique then. But what I was going to say is, if it costs them close to, let's say it costs them $2,500 to own this house a month.
Mm-hmm.
The question is, if it takes us another 2 months to sell it at $375, that would be the same as selling it now this month for $370. Do you hear me?
Mm-hmm. Yes, I do. Yes, I do.
All right. So that's the other way I was trying to massage it. All right,
gotcha.
So do the best that you can, Mary Kay, and make sure you point something out to them. So, let them know is sometimes the best buyers are the ones in the very beginning of a listing because of the buyers that have been waiting for something new to come onto the market. We find the best numbers are usually in that first 30-day period.
Right,
and,
of course.
And, All right, did that help you?
That helps a lot. Thank you so much. I appreciate it.
Oh, you're welcome. You're welcome, hon. Okay, great. I'm going to put you back on hold, Mary Kay, so you don't have to worry about it. Lori Click, are you on the call? If you are, hit star 71 time on your phone, and I'll talk to you. Just give it a minute for it to – there you are, Lori. Hi, Lori.
Hi. How are you doing, Daryl? I know you're doing
great. I'm doing great. Thank you, hon. I'm doing great. Thank you so much for asking. I appreciate it. So you moved to Virginia. Where did you move from?
Kentucky.
Kentucky. I could never tell with that. You hardly have any kind of accent at all, Lori.
I know. This is going to be an issue, isn't it?
No, it's not, darling. They're going to probably love you in West Virginia.
Now it's not West Virginia. It's just Virginia.
Oh, it's Virginia.
Round.
Well, that's even better. West Virginia, Virginia's better. So, Lori, I'll read your question that you asked, and that is you just moved to Virginia. You don't know anybody in the area. You're not familiar with the area. How do I get started? You're going to take 90 hours of school to take the test again. Help. Okay. So, Lori, here's a couple of things. First of all, you've got to know your markets. You want to get the confidence level there. So one of the things I would do is that your office that you're in, is I would, make sure you preview every stinking listing that your company has so you get a sense of the market. That's number one. Number two is I would attend all the brokers' open houses as much as possible so you also get to know the market. Number three is this is very old school, but you actually looking at anything that has sold recently in your market, that'll help you give you an idea of price. Number four, okay. Any listing appointments you do go on, you should bring somebody with you, only because it'll make you feel more comfortable, and you'll share the listing with them. The other thing is make sure that you determine, Lori, what kind of area are you going to stay in. In other words, like where your office is, one of the biggest mistakes that all agents make, and so this is for everybody on the call, is that they spread themselves too thin. They're showing properties north, south, west, east. They're driving 30 minutes, 40 minutes, 50 minutes. Now, depending where you are, if you're in a rural area, 50-minute drive may be normal. In mm-hmm. Long Island, that's way too much. I mean, you can make a six-figure income in real estate and never have to drive more than, 20 minutes away from your office in a radius. So you have to decide, Lori, what's the market you're going to work in. Don't spread yourself too thin. If you were to take where you live or your office and do a circle and you drove 20 minutes in any radius, there may be a ton of business for you in that 20-minute drive that you can work. And the reason why that's important is because if you can make a good living in 20 minutes but you're driving 40 minutes, well, that's a lot more houses to look at. That's a lot more markets to understand. That's a lot more different styles and pricing. Are you with me, Lori?
Yes, yes. Yes, I am. Thank
yeah,
you.
Yeah, so you want to, think of like, this is a horrible analogy, but like if a bomb goes off in the center, ground zero, and, as it expands, you want to start at ground zero, get to know the market immediately around that ground zero, and work your way outward, and don't go too far if you don't have to. All right. The last suggestion that I have is that with all that, that still is not going to make you money. The best and quickest way for you to make money is you've got to build your shoe store. You heard me do the shoe store analogy, right, Lori?
Yes, I have.
All right, darling. So you moved to Virginia, you're opening up a shoe store, and you've got an empty store.
Yes,
now, for everybody who doesn't, right? That's right. So everybody doesn't know what I'm talking about. I use the shoe store analogy to validate the power of having listing inventory. So our product is listings, and the shoe store is the example. So, Lori, you got to get some shoes on the racks because right now you got nothing. And the best and quickest way to do that, Lori, is you've got to hit the phones. You've got to call Fizzles and Expires. Now, again, I know because you don't know the market. Listen, Lori, you got a lot of stuff going on. You have not just the fact that you don't know the market, the fact that you're new. You don't have friends there. You've also got the whole concept of moving and your own personal getting comfortable with your new life. So you've got that plus your business. Now, if you allow it, Lori, all of that's going to suck you into not a depression, but you can actually go into a bad place if you focus more on what you don't know versus causing results in a breakthrough in your career. So you've got to get active. You've got to start prospecting. You've got to do those FISBOs and expires. And to help you with the insecurity of not knowing the market, just bring another agent with you on the appointments, all right, and let them do the listing appointment. So you be the prospector, you be the rainmaker, you generate the listing appointments, and then bring somebody with and you'll share it with them 50-50 or 75-25. You've taken 75%, whatever you can work out.
Okay.
So make sure you do that. You've got the dialogue from me. There's dialogue on the Power Program website. I don't know if you have my – do you have my CDs? Do you have the FISBO CDs, Lori?
Yes, I do.
All right, so you've got my CDs, so you're good there. You've got Red-X. I told you how to do that. Sign up with the Red-X. Now, one other thing that you can do that will help you, Mike Lafito. Mike Lafito is a power agent who we interviewed. He's going to be in the magazine in November, and his interview is going to be there in November. I'm going to share with you something that he shared with me. I just loved it. And when I interviewed him, what he did is when he first started, he did open houses for other agents listing. But what he did was he actually did a video tour. Like he took his iPhone and he walked through the house and said, "Hey, gang, I'm here at, you know, 1010 Hunter Lane. We're going to be doing an open house here in about an hour. And let me just show you how wonderful this house is." And he would do a tour, and then he posted that video on Facebook and social media. Now, it wasn't his listing. It was another agent's listing. He didn't say it was his listing, but he's doing an open house because the agent said he can do the open house to generate some buyers and maybe sell the house. But he then took that video recording. He had it on his iPhone, and then he would show a couple of these on a listing appointment. Showing the homeowner, this is the type of marketing I do. The homeowner, thinking that that was his listing, didn't question whether he was a successful agent or not. And by the way, Lori, it was also a $2 million listing. So it gave him instant credibility. So it would be better if you can do an open house for a high-end listing in your office or as high-end as you can find, that an agent's willing to give it to you. And that will also help you get some credibility on a listing appointment. Did any of this help
great
you, darling?
Idea. Oh, great idea. Great idea.
Lori, my last thing for you, sweetheart, is that your mental state will be the biggest challenge for you. Because, again, there's what you don't know. There is the insecurity that can generate. You're having to start your life over, in a sense, in a new place. Mm-hmm. So you got a lot of personal stuff going on here with this move. You need to focus on what's possible. You need to trust yourself. You need to know that you've succeeded before. If it helps you, make a list of accomplishments in your life. You know, the value of Lori and who you are and just sit down and make a list, whether it's kids, it could be personal stuff, anything that you've accomplished in your life that you've had success, you know, maybe do that if you ever find yourself going to a negative place because of you starting over in your life, okay?
Okay.
All right.
Wonderful.
And
you know, I just can't tell you. It's wonderful.
All right, sweetie. You make sure you email me if you have if you get in a bad place, all right? I know you can do this.
Okay.
You're going to be great, okay?
All right. Thank you so much.
Oh, you're so welcome, Lori. All right, I'm going to put you on mute so you don't have to worry about it. And Amy, if Amy's on the call, I got a quick answer for you. Amy, you asked, should we contact those expireds who listed in the same company? So any of you have listings in your company that expires, can you call that listing to try and get it listed with you? That's Amy's question. And, you know, Amy, that depends on the company policy. So, you know, but here's what my office policy was that I managed is, yeah, it's better to have it listed in our family than to have it listed with one of our cousins. I mean, that's what we called other brokers. We called them our cousins. So let's keep it in the family. And that was my philosophy. So I would definitely pursue those. Michael Rodriguez. Michael, are you on the call? Michael, hit star 7 if you are, one time real quick. Are you there,
hey,
Michael?
Can you hear me?
Anybody? Yeah, I can hear
hi,
you.
Hi, Daryl. Hi, everybody.
All right, Michael, so you wanted to ask me, do you have, do I have for you a pyramid that shows the percentages of people that go to see homes that are priced right? If it's priced too high, then it's a lower percentage, blah, blah, blah. Michael, do you have any of my learning CDs?
I do, and my broker has the rest that I don't have.
Okay, listen, I have that for you. It's not in the Power Program, you know, it's not in the Power Program website. I'll tell you where it is, and that is there's a CD called Get Your Listing Sold. That CD, in there is a page that has the pyramid that you're asking about that shows the higher the price, the fewer buyers are going to come see it, okay? So find that CD, find the workbook. The CD came with a workbook. It's a PDF workbook, and that's where that is, okay?
All right. Will that have also other listing tools that I can use for listing presentations?
Yeah, so let me – great question, Michael. And by the way, for those of you that let me see here. For those of you that don't have my CDs or you have a question about it, I don't want to sound like a commercial, but it wouldn't be fair that the one I just shared, Michael. If you go into the Power Program website and if you go under the word classroom, the second link says Power Agent Learning Special. And that's where you can get CDs that are discounted that we don't make available to anybody else other than Power Agents, okay? And I will tell you that's individual pricing. So you're getting a 50% discount on all of our CDs. But if you wanted a bigger discount, if you go to my website, Daryl Davis Seminars, there is a package price that you can get everything if you don't have it. So, all right. Let's see. Okay, we just lost power in my office. Michael, you still there?
I'm still here.
Okay, good. Well, I'm glad you are because we just lost power in our office. Interesting. Okay. So the last question you had, Michael, was, is there any other marketing tools that you can use or to show on a listing appointment? You know, Michael, and this is for everybody. You know, what do you talk about on a listing appointment? You know, you know, there's all these different things that we can talk about, whether it's, you know, broker's open house, public open house, yard sign, and it can be pretty overwhelming to think about all these different things to talk about. The best thing to talk about, Michael, is anything that's important to you. So if you were to look at everything that your office does, everything that we do as realtors for homeowners, what do you think is the absolute best tools that helps a homeowner get their property sold? And that's what you should talk about. as far as any cool flyers or stuff like that, there is, I have so many things in these magazines every month. If you wanted to go through just the last 3 months of magazines, even just this month magazine, there's a bunch of things that I talked about. But the best things to talk about are whatever you're passionate about. You know, for example, when I do my live seminar, you know, I'm just doing 3 hours, but I have over 20 hours of material on all of the learning CDs. So, you know, how am I going to get 20 out? This is a very important one about to say. How do I teach 20 hours in 3 hours? You can't. So what I do is of the 20 hours of what I know, I pick the 3 hours that I'm personally most passionate about. Like, I'm really passionate talking about the concept of building a shoe store and listing inventory versus just getting listings. I'm real passionate about the power of metaphors and analogies. I'm really passionate about the shiny penny list. So take the things, and people who have come to that seminar, you know, they love it, and I think the reason why they love it is because I love it. So when you go on a listing appointment, there's no right thing to talk about. It's the thing that tickles your fancy, that speaks to your heart, and you should teach from that. Does that make sense?
That does. Thanks.
Okay, great. Did that help you, buddy?
It did. It did. I'm
all
unmuting
right,
now.
All right. All right. All right. So I don't think I can, because I think we lost our internet connection when the power went down, because we're having a storm here in Long Island. And so, Michael, you hit *7, and that will mute you, okay? So just hit that again, and that will take you back on mute. All right, gang, so I have no control over the my panel over here, so I can't mute or unmute anybody. So if somebody wants to ask me a question, this is your time. Hit *7 one time, and then you'll be able to talk to me. So who has a question? Who's there? And by the way, it takes a minute for it to register. *7 one time. Anybody there have a question for me?
Hello?
Come on, gang. Yes, hi. Who's this?
Amy.
Hi, Amy. How are you?
Good. How are you?
Good. Is this Amy from Long and Foster?
Yes.
Okay. The one that just said, okay, what can I do for you, Amy?
Yeah, I just have a quick question. So
sure.
I call a few expired listing and the feasibles. So sometimes they are really defensive. And my point, like, if we can get them agree on the phone about the, well, like a listing appointment or something like that, can we ask them so we can come over to preview the house first?
Okay. Yep. Okay, so let me make sure I understand your question, Amy. Is you're having troubles calling FSBOs on expired and getting an appointment when you call them. Is that right?
Yes.
Okay. So, Michael, are you still there? I think you're still unmuted. Michael, say hello if you are. Michael?
Okay. Unmuted now.
Okay, good, Michael. Michael, I'm going to role play with you. Amy, I'm going to role play with Michael, and the reason why is because, Amy, your connection is a little not good, and Michael's was really
okay.
Good, and I want you to hear, this is how you should call the FSBO and expired, okay?
Okay?
Are you there, Amy? All right, so
yes.
Listen to how I do this with Michael. Michael, you be the FSBO, and I'm going to call you, okay?
Okay.
You got the easy part. You just be like, nasty. Okay, so I'm going to call you and ring, and you'll say hello. So ring.
Hello.
Yes, hi, I'm calling you about the house for sale.
Do you want to buy it?
Well, I saw it in the paper, and I was wondering, is it still for sale?
Yes, it is.
Okay, well, hi, sir. My name is Daryl Davis from Power Realty. The reason I was calling is I saw the head, and I was wondering, are you working with agents at all in the sale of your property?
And no, I'm not.
All right, so you are trying to do it on your own then, is that right?
I
okay. Well, I'm looking at a copy of the ad here, and it sounds really nice. 4-bedroom, 2-bath, colonial, and has a full-finished basement. And by the way, did you write this yourself? Because it's really good.
Well, yes, I did.
All right, well, good. Can I ask you, it says 4 bedrooms, 2 baths. How big is the backyard or the property?
It's a pretty size, pretty good sized lot. I'd say about 5,000 square feet.
Oh wow! Okay, that's really nice. And doesn't have a basement?
No, it doesn't.
Okay, that's fine. Most of the properties in that area. And by the way, which area are you in, sir?
Florida, Hollywood.
I mean, the subdivision that you're in, or just or. All right. Now you see, gang, I'm making up questions because I don't know the market, Amy. But here's let me fast forward it because it'll be better for us as far as time. So, Amy, what I'm doing here is I'm asking him questions, and you'll notice, Mike, even though he said he's not working with realtors, I still have him staying on the phone with me because I'm asking questions about his house like any buyer would ask. So I'm going to continue to ask questions about bedrooms, baths, and style and all that stuff, and then I'll ask, and then I'm going to go to the next section of the call, which is, so, Michael, the house sounds really nice. Let me ask you this. Would you be offended if I just stopped by to see the house?
Do you have a buyer?
Well, Michael, I have plenty of buyers. And listen, I'm hesitant because I don't want to make it sound like that I'm blowing smoke at you or I'm not being honest. You know,
okay.
I would be dishonest, Michael, if I said, yes, I do. Because I really don't know without seeing the inside of the house. I will tell you. Do I have buyers in this price range? Absolutely. Do I have buyers that are still looking? Absolutely. Possibly, could one of those buyers want your house? Absolutely. But what I'd like to do at this point is I just want to come see the house, see the inside, and see if there is some way I can help you. Maybe it's with a buyer or something. Does that make sense?
Yes, it does.
Okay, great. So, Amy, that's how you would do the call roughly, okay, to get the appointment. Now, with expired, it's similar, too, which is instead of – it would be – let's do an expired. Michael, you be an expired, and then we're going to finish up our call here. So, ring, ring.
Hello?
Yes, hi. I'm calling about 1010 Hanahana Lane, your house. It was for sale on the multiple listing service. By the way, is this Mr. Rodriguez?
Yes, it is.
Mr. Rodriguez, I'm Daryl Davis with Power Realty, and so I noticed your house expired on the MLS, and I was wondering, is the house still for sale?
It's not on the market as of right now.
Okay, all right, so it's not on MLS, it's not on the market. I'm looking at a copy of the listing, and it sounds really nice. I'm actually a little shocked that it didn't sell. Do you have an idea why that is?
I couldn't tell you.
Okay.
I think it's priced
well,
right.
You think it's priced right? I mean, it looks really nice. Let me ask you, where were you planning on moving, Mr. Rodriguez?
I'm downsizing.
You're downsizing? Okay. And is there a time frame when you wanted the house to sell? Now, let me just stop here. So, Amy, what I would do with the expired, I was a little bit more forward because he already worked with realtors. He understands realtors, so I could go right to, I'm calling about the house. This is Daryl Davis from Power Realty. I'm looking at the list. I'm surprised it didn't sell. But now what I want to do is I want to ask Michael a bunch of questions as to where he was moving to, why there. Like, I need to bring back to the surface his level of commitment to selling because he may be a little frustrated and not depressed, but discouraged that his property didn't sell yet. And so what you want to do on expired is bring back more of the excitement as to why they're selling, less of the frustration that they might be feeling. And once the excitement of possibly moving is greater than their frustration, then you can ask, can I come over and see the inside of the house? And you'll get a better chance in getting the appointment. Michael, thank you. You did a great job. Amy, do you have any questions about that?
No, that's it. Thank you so much.
Oh,
I have
so
a question, though, Daryl.
Yeah, go ahead.
For the expired listing that you call up and get the irate, now you call me. Where were you when the house was on the market? What do you say to that?
Yeah, great question. I'm going to answer that question quick, and then we'll finish our call. Michael, you know, there's so many different ways to say that, but my favorite way is to say, well, the reason why I didn't show your property at the